comes to this issue, and I hope that before we go on today, we'll make something big decisions for God. Okay. Now, the Lord has laid in my heart to talk to you on the subject paganism that is well and truly within the society for a number of years here and abroad. And we need to be aware of that, because we can easily adopt the humanistic attitudes toward the things of life. And we have to be very careful that it doesn't creep in our churches. My family and I have been here in New Zealand for the past maybe 27 years. So we're Kiwis. I don't look like a Kiwi. Okay. And we love New Zealand. Okay, I think this is like our new home country now. And there's a lot of great things that, you know, we can be proud of about this country. But let me say this truth in love. We're living in a paganistic society. We're living in a paganistic society, and you say that's a bit rough statement about New Zealand, Pastor. Well, other countries, I mean, we're civilized pagans. Other countries may not yet have a civilization issue, but they're uncivilized pagans. We are civilized pagans, and just the same. Okay, we are pagans, okay? And I'll show you why I said that, okay? And I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16, verse 44. Ezekiel, chapter 16, verse 44. And let me read a few verses to you. It says in verse 44, "Behold, everyone that useth proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter." Now, have you heard that phrase before? You're just like your mother. Now, it depends, you know, how you say it. Could be positive, could be negative, okay? But in this passage, thank you, brother. Okay, I already have one here, but yeah, that's fine. In this passage, it talks about Sodom, and the iniquity of the people in Sodom has multiplied, and it has affected the next generation. Okay, I want you to go down to verse 47. "And yet hast thou not walked after their ways, nor done after their abominations, but as if that were a little thing." Okay, as if that were a little thing. You know, this is the thinking of paganism. It doesn't matter, Pastor. I make a big deal out of it. It's just a little thing. But God doesn't look at it that way. Okay, and if you go on in verse 49, it's going to tell us the sins of Sodom, which is a very paganistic society. Okay, let's look at verse 49. "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy." You know, this is a very important chapter giving us a portrait of the nation of Israel. Now, Ezekiel compares the nation of Israel to Sodom. Okay, you know, if somebody comes to you and say, "You know what, your city is like Sodom," really, it's not a flattering description of our city, because Sodom is it's an incredible wicked place, incredible wicked city. And God said, "I'm going to do a real estate development of Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm going to send fire and brimstone, and I'm going to destroy the place." And that is exactly what he did. And you know, God can destroy a nation anytime if he chooses to do so. Okay, he has the power to do that. But, you know, this chapter pictures the lost condition of Israel, and by his loving grace and mercy, God restored Israel. Now, aren't you glad that we have a God of second chances? We have a merciful, loving, forgiving God, and he gives us second, third, fourth chances all the time. Okay, we just have to praise the Lord for that. But instead of responding to God's grace and kindness, Israel turns around and starts to worship other gods and forgets what God has done for them. In fact, if you'll go back to verse 15 of the same chapter, it says, "But thou didst trust in thine own beauty and place the harlot." You trust your beauty, just like many countries today. They trust in themselves rather than trusting God. And in fact, when you listen to different news today, you'll find that nations in the world basically push God and make their own little gods. Okay, and now let's look at the sins of Israel one by one here. It says in verse 49, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom." What is it? Pride. Okay? I call it the sin of arrogance. You know, when the nation gets haughty and when the nation gets proud, and When the nation says, we don't need anybody else, we can do it ourselves, that is the sin of arrogance, and God hates it. You know, pride goeth before destruction, and a Holy Spirit before a fall. Okay, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Okay? And it says in verse 49, fullness of bread. Let's call it the sin of affluence. You know, there are some people or poor countries where they do everything they can to survive. I mean, they don't even know where to get food for the next meal. Okay? And they wonder, they don't even know how to survive the following day. And that's usually the case. You know, we just have to praise God for this country. Amen? I mean, just to be here by world standard, we are rich. By world standard, we are wealthy. Just to be here in New Zealand. I mean, there's so much plenty and abundance of, I mean, this country. I mean, the only problem that most Filipinos have is what to eat after they have their meal. And after we have a big shared lunch in our church, Pastor, what are we going to eat next? Can we study the Word of God this time? Okay. Now, I mean, this is a place of milk and honey. Amen. I mean, this is a good place. Okay. There's abundance of food over here. Okay. Now, if you remember the story of Lazarus and the rich man. Okay. Lazarus was outside the gate, and the rich man was inside the gate. And you know what happened when they both died? Lazarus is now inside the gate of paradise, and the rich man was outside the gate of paradise. And so how did that happen, Pastor? Well, because wealth can be a barrier to having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The wealthier you are, most likely you're not in the church. Right? Okay? And the Bible says it is easier for a camel to enter into the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Okay? And then it says abundance of idleness. I call it the sin of abundance of idleness. You know, we live in a lazy society that pampers the flesh. I'm sure if you'll agree with me. I mean, if you think about it, our life is being run by machineries. Washing machine, electric stove, dishwasher, microwave, vacuum cleaner. Okay, and we seldom travel by foot. And then we say, we are so busy, Pastor, we don't have time to serve God. And yet we are being run by machineries. Everything is all is right there, okay? And you just don't have time to do something for God. And then it says, neither did you strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Let's call it the sin of abandonment, okay? This is the sin when people turn their back away from those who are genuinely in need. And to summarize all of this, Ezekiel is rebuking a nation, a whole bunch of people, proud of their accomplishments, plenty of resources, have a lot of idle times, and then ignore the needs of the poor and needy. And I believe it rooted in some kind of paganism. And this is not us. I mean, the Bible tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature, all things have passed away, behold, all things are become new. Okay, now let me give you the first thought of humanism. Okay, the first thing that I want us to learn. Okay, first one is this. Humanistic philosophy has crept into society. Let's look at Jude verse 4. You know, there's only one chapter there. So, in the book of Jude verse 4, are you okay? In verse 4 it says, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he said there's a whole group of creepy people, and they're silently creeping in through religion, coming through philosophy, and they're sneaking in various principles, trying to destroy that God has set up. And just in case you're asking, what is it that God has set up? Well, this is the doctrine that God has set up when he came here, that God was manifested in the flesh, born in a manger, grew up as a man, preached love and compassion, offered the gift of salvation for those who will come to him by faith. He was nailed to the cross, died, buried, rose again, and then he said, I will come again to take my saints away. Okay? And we're living in a society where majority of the people deny the existence of God, and they reject the authority of the scriptures. You know, they have a form of godliness. They still go to church like this. They have a form of godliness, and yet they deny the power thereof. You know, years ago, a missionary from India was on furlough, and he told of seeing a land that had a giant apparatus. I'm not sure if you have heard about that apparatus called the Jagannath. It was known as Jagannath. And Jagannath was actually made up of 40 logs, about 10 meters long, and approximately 1 meter in diameter. Okay? And there were big metal iron running through the middle of those logs. Now, on top of those logs was a throne built dedicated for a Hindu god by the name of Vishnu. So this Vishnu god, okay, are sitting on top of that Jagannath, okay, and attached to each of those logs on either sides were ropes, okay, and there were several people holding onto those ropes. So you can imagine these logs, 40 of them, 10 meters in length, one meter in diameter, okay, and there were several people pulling the Jagannath along the street of India. And the missionary said that the sight was absolutely bizarre. It was incredible. Because mothers were coming out and they were taking their little babies. Okay, and as the Jagannath comes to their street, mothers would pick up their little babies and then throw those little babies right before the Jagannath and watch those babies being squashed by 40 logs. And then they will grab the old people out of their homes, frail and infirm, and then they will do the same thing. They will throw those old people right before the Jagannath and watch those people die. And then they will go to the prison and then take those prisoners, and they'll do the same thing. They will throw those prisoners right in front of the Jagannath. And say, why are they doing it, Pastor? Well, it was an attempt as they sacrificed those people to appease Vishnu that was sitting of that Jagannath. Now, I can't imagine somebody making a proposal to the Prime Minister in New Zealand saying, can we bring that here? And throw some of those MPs. I mean, that will be an outrage, right? You say, that's paganism, Pastor. We don't bring those things here in New Zealand. Jagannath? You say, that's paganism. And yet the Bible tells us that paganism and humanism has crept in unawares. It's been in our world for a long time. It's been in New Zealand for a long time. The Jagannath of humanistic philosophy has been down the road of every society. In fact, millions of babies have been thrown under the Jagannath called the Jagannath of abortion. I mean, alcohol industry has killed thousands of people in the motorway around this country. And this is the Jagannath saying, we don't care as long as there's money coming in. Okay? And the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. You know, in Webster Dictionary, you find that humanism is a philosophy that asserts the dignity and worth of men. Okay, that's what humanism is. Humanism is a religion that deifies men and dethrones God. Okay, and let me say this. Okay, it is invading churches. It is invading politics. It is invading schools. It is invading universities. And some of you may have seen the human movement logo of a guy with his hands going around a circle like that. Okay, and it's telling you that the greatest thing on earth is man. Let me tell you something. The greatest thing on earth is God. The Bible says all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. You open the Bible, it opens with a positive fact that there is God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Matthew 6:33 tells us this, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But when you start to deify man, making man the center of the universe, then you are joining the ropes of Jagannath. You know, humanism believes in sexual freedom between consenting adults. And if you're not careful, it creeps into your mind. And even some Christians say, it makes sense, Pastor. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with that. I mean, it's very convenient. Humanism believes there's nothing wrong with premarital sex. There's nothing wrong with euthanasia and suicide. They believe in the right to do those things and do your own thing as long as it doesn't hurt anybody. They recognize no rights, therefore they recognize no wrong. And you know, one of the most popular songs of the humanistic movement, I'm not sure some of you still know this song, probably some of you are still singing this song. If you're over 50, raise your hand, be honest. Okay, I know who you are. Okay, over 50, you probably know this song. Okay, John Lennon composed a song called Imagine. Come on, everybody sing. Relax. And John Lennon composed a song called Imagine. And it is a song that embodies all that humanists believe. Okay? And the song goes like, imagine there's no heaven. Imagine there's no hell before us. Imagine there's no war. Imagine the brotherhood of men. And they're all humanistic theology. Okay? And when somebody comes to your church and got offended mainly because you preach about hell, you know that person has a humanist belief within him, a dash of humanism. When you tell them you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, you will end up going to hell. And when that person got offended, he has some kind of humanistic attitude toward him. Okay? So humanistic philosophy has crept into society. Let's look at the second point. Hellish paganism has become common in society. Let's talk about Ahab and Jezebel, okay, a pagan couple in the Old Testament. In 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 30 to 33, okay, let's look at verse 30. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass as if it had been... You guys are very slow. Okay. Swipe your Bibles. Okay, let me read this again. Okay. In verse 30, and Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass as it had been a light thing. You know, today when you say light or light coke, light ice cream, it means it's not the real thing, right? I don't know about you. When you say ice cream, I want it sweet. Beverage, Judd? Okay, diabetic? No, not yet. Okay. By the way, in this passage, the sins that Ahab had committed for him, it's not too bad. It's just a light thing. Okay? And then it says, for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the sons of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And then in verse 32, and he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel than were before him. So we call it hellish paganism. And it has common in society. You know biblical definition of paganism? Paganism is somebody who does not recognize the God of the Bible, that's all. Okay? Anybody who does not recognize the God of the Bible is a pagan. Now, it is not politically correct, but it is biblically correct. Okay? Ahab and Jezebel were pagans. In fact, Ahab actually was a weak-willed husband and a leader. And he had a disease called asthma. Okay? What do you mean? Well, every time people will come to him and ask for big decisions, he will say, ask my wife. Okay? His wife Jezebel was manipulative, dominating, vicious Nazi. Okay, who brought Baal worship to Israel. Okay, and she brought these infant sacrifices to Baal, and they throw those beautiful babies to crocodiles. Is that paganism? No. Do you agree with me? That's paganism. Now, by the way, when you terminate a life inside a womb, how do we call it? That's paganism. You know, in this country, you kill a kiwi bird, you'll be fine. Terminating a child inside the mother's womb is free of charge. Have you ever thought about it? That's why I said before, we're living in a paganistic society. Now, Jezebel brought pornography to Israel through Canaanite worship. In fact, Israel had hundreds of pornographic temples. And when somebody, or when the government funds film festivals to produce more pornographic art, that's paganism. Jezebel brought feminism to Israel, where you have to pray to a female god called the Queen of Heaven. And when the Bible Society turns around and says, let's get a neutral gender Bible, okay, and all of a sudden it's no longer our Father who art in heaven, it becomes our Mother who art in heaven, let's get rid of any masculine term of God, because that is offensive to feminist movement, I call it paganism. And Jezebel attacked the church. I mean, she tried to kill the preachers, and one of those was Elijah. Okay? And when the nation attacks the Bible-believing churches, you're not allowed to say blood, hell, damnation, Christ, cross. Friends, that's paganism. I mean, we've seen paganism creeping into our society. You're not allowed to teach salvation at school. You have to be very careful how you deal with kids. Okay, but somebody told me his teacher showed pornographic film in the class as part of sex education program. That's paganism. You know, when kids are not allowed Christmas carols that speak about the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ manifested in the flesh, but they're allowed to sing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, that's paganism. You know, we need to pray for our nation. I think that's the reason why we're here, to be reminded about these things and what are we going to do about it. In fact, in Psalm 33, verse 12, it says in Psalm 33, verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Okay, I just want you to think about it. A nation whose God is the Lord is blessed. If the nation has a different God, it is not blessed. That's why we have to pray for this country. You know, when parents are told they don't have a say when their daughters want an abortion, but you cannot take Panadol without the parents' permission. That's paganism. Okay? That's why the Bible says humanism creeps unaware and paganism has become common in society. And as believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about this? Well, the last point is this. Holy people must continue to be light in society. When you say holy people, who's the Bible talking about here? The saints. Are we holy? Well, practically we're not, but positionally in the eyes of God, we are perfect. But we still sin, right? So we're Christians, okay? Now, Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship, in Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You know, we must not get ourselves involved in idolatry and witchcraft in any form or shape. And God's people say, you know, we have to make sure that the world's ideologies don't creep into our churches. You know, young people, keep yourselves pure. Young people, raise your hand. I said young people. Bertin Cronin, don't put your hand up. No, just don't. Young people, keep yourselves pure. Old people, keep yourselves pure. It's the same. We are commanded, or God is expecting us to live a life of purity and holiness. Man, do not take part in the humanistic principles of the world. Okay? I mean, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. And I'm afraid in order for you to reach the world, you have to leave the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You know? You know, the world is like a giant rotten meat. And the only reason why it's still here is because we're still here. We're the preservatives of this rotten meat. We are supposed to be the salt of the earth, right? The problem with many Christians is that they're not very salty. We're not very salty, okay? But we are the salt. I mean, If these people will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, it is not because liberal churches has decided to make a Christian rock concert. If these people will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ because you and I got up, penetrated the community, and shared the Word of God to them, and then they got saved. We call it personal evangelism. Now the problem is you will never do that until you fully surrender yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I see in many churches today? There's a lot of people, they want to serve God, but they don't want to surrender themselves to God. And then they want a crown without a cross. They want gain without pain. They want success without sacrifice. Yes, we want to serve God, but you know, Pastor, I'm not sure if I will be available that day. Yeah. And you know what? The cults are the ones who are actively propagating their false gospel. They're the ones who are active. I mean, just this year, I think 3 times I've been doorknocked either by a Mormon or by Jehovah's Witness. Jehovah's false witnesses. And when they come to my place, I say this, where are my people? Where are the independent Baptist Bible churches who always go to soul winning conferences? Isn't that so? Okay, that the cults are the ones that are active. I mean, the fastest growing churches in many places of the world are the ones who speak in tongues. The one who promised health, wealth, and prosperity. Come to Jesus and you will never get sick. Come to Jesus, you will never have parking tickets. They're the ones growing. I mean, a young man would tie a bomb on his chest and then blow up a building and die that way just to please a God who doesn't even exist. And we are here. We're the bearer of God's word. I mean, we are the recipient of God's word, and we have to be the dispenser of God's word. I mean, we have the true word of God. And I believe that God can destroy a nation anytime if he chooses to do so. And as Christians, we have a great responsibility to bring a revival in this country. Say, Pastor, how? Well, it starts within you. I remember King Solomon, when after he finished the temple, he dedicated it to God. And then he prayed and said, Lord, I want you to bless our country. And God appeared to Solomon that night, and this is what he said. If my people, are we God's people? Which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, then will forgive their sins and will heal their land. That is God's promise. If my people shall humble themselves and pray. Unfortunately, churches are full if there is a dynamic preacher visiting the church, but it's almost empty when it is time to pray. Almost empty. Because many people don't acknowledge, they undervalue the importance of prayer. And seek my face. You know, God's people, they keep seeking wealth. I mean, we never stop seeking for a good place to live. We go from one place to another place to another place to another place to another place, and the Lord Jesus Christ comes. And it's exactly what we did. You know, We don't seek God's will. We seek fame. We seek fortune. We seek career. We seek wealth, but not God's will. And turn from their wicked ways. You know, I've seen a lot of Christians all over the place. They're growing old, but they're not growing up. You know, they come to church, but it's really all about just going through some religious formality. And you cannot see change in their lives. Make sure that God is not interested in Sunday morning show up. You know, come to church on Sunday. I've done my best today. I sat there and listened to a good message. God is not interested in that one. God is more interested in what you're going to do from Monday to Saturday. That's why he said, turn from your wicked ways. And he said this, and then will I hear from heaven, will forgive our sins, and will heal our land. Do you think New Zealand is sick? It says, I will heal your land. You know, during the time of Jesus Christ, especially in the Old Testament, leprosy was a common disease. Now, leprosy, I've been to a leper colony in the Philippines twice. And leprosy is like the nerves are already dead. I mean, you can chop their fingers, you don't even feel it. Somebody took off his shoes and the whole foot came off with the shoe. Okay, because the nerves are dead. Now, as I think about it, I think our country now this day has some kind of spiritual leprosy. I mean, when it comes to information, we're not in the dark when it comes to salvation and Christ and Jesus Christ dying on the cross. People will come to church, they will hear a good message, and that's a good message, Pastor, but the nerves are dead. They just sit there. That's a good message, all right. But the nerves are dead. They don't do much. I'm sorry to be a little bit negative. Are we still friends? You know, I remember the nation of Israel during the time of Habakkuk. They have failed to be a witnessing nation, and their faith actually has been reduced to observing Sabbaths and observing the traditions of men. That it caused Habakkuk to pray and say, Lord, in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 1, is what it said, revive thy work in the midst of the years. Lord, return. We will return unto you. Just help us. Help us to be revived. But you know what? Revival starts in the hearts of God's people. It starts within you. We need more people to get involved in the work of Christian ministry. We need more people witnessing. We need more people praying. We need more people giving. And we need to humble ourselves and pray. I think, is it too much to ask if right after this message, people will come and say, Lord, I want you to bless our country? Is that too much to ask? Lord, we need more people who will stand up. I think last Sunday I said to our church, you know what? This is your country. You must be the one standing up, preaching, and being a watchman to your own people. I mean, I'm a migrant here. And I love this country. And I said to our church, if you're Sri Lankan and you love the Sri Lankans, then why don't you go back to Sri Lanka and witness to your fellow men? If you're a Filipino, why don't you go back to the Philippines and witness to the Filipinos? Rather than staying here and then don't love the people here. I mean, if you're a Kiwi, you have to love the Kiwis. How? By showing love and compassion, showing to them the way to salvation. And you know what the Bible says? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and will heal their land. The answer to the world's problem today is the attitude of God's people. It is our hearts. So we all